Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was presented in January of 2007. The title of the message, Will You Live by Faith?
Habakkuk was a preacher. Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet. And here we have this man, and Habakkuk had a problem. He was struggling. This man, he was trying his best to serve the Lord. He's working with the people of Israel, actually the people of Judah. And he's just struggling because they're not doing what's right. And so here he comes to God, and he is complaining. In his heart, he's crying out to God, Lord, what is going on? Real fast, as we just move through, Habakkuk chapter number 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Listen to Habakkuk, what he says. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. He's just crying out to God, and he's saying, Lord, what is going on? You ever been there? You ever had circumstances in your life where you're saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't get it. What's going on? That's where Habakkuk was. I want us to look now at God's response. Really, the way this book is written, it just moves from Habakkuk talking to God talking, and it never tells you. It just does it. But in verse number 5, God begins to speak, and here's God's first response. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land and to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. This is God's response to Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, God, I don't understand what's going on. This doesn't make sense to me. Why are you doing what you're doing? And the answer comes back this. Oh, Habakkuk, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, and they're going to come, and they are going to destroy Judah. And folks, this isn't the answer that Habakkuk was looking for. And so then all of a sudden, Habakkuk's problem goes from bad to worse. Listen to what Habakkuk says in his second question to God. He says this, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Basically, Habakkuk cries back to God and say, God, that's not the answer I'm looking for. The people are being wicked. Basically, he's preaching to a people who will not respond to God, to the preaching. And he says, God, how long are you going to put up with this? And God says, I'm going to send in the Chaldeans, and they're going to wipe everybody out. And then Habakkuk says, God, that is not the answer I was looking for. What do you mean? These people are more wicked than we are, and you're going to use them to come in here and destroy us? God, your eyes are too pure to even look upon evil. How are you going to do this? And then I love what Habakkuk says, moving into chapter number 2, verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk basically said, I'm going to sit down and I ain't moving until God explains to me what's going on. And then I want you to see God's answer is very simple. It really comes all together in chapter number 2, verse 4. And this is the central theme of this short three-chapter book. God's second response is this. Sure enough, he agrees with him first. He says, behold, his, talking about the Chaldeans, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. He said, you're right. They are a wicked nation. But I want you to listen to this next phrase that he tells him. He says, but the just live by his faith. But the just shall live by his faith. God, why is it that things happen in life that we do not understand? God, what are you doing? And all throughout Scripture and throughout all of time, the answer from God echoes back. Live by faith. Trust me. What does it mean, the word faith? You know, really, we have a definition of it in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't know if you've ever puzzled over that verse, but really the bottom line is that verse really presents a paradox. It's hard to understand. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. The substance, that would be something that you can get a hold of, something substantial, of things that you're simply hoping for. There's nothing substantial about what you hope for. There's nothing you can grab a hold to. And then he says it's the evidence of things that you cannot see. It's hard to live by faith. Faith doesn't always make sense. You're going through life and circumstances all around you are hard and you're just trying to hang on and you're living by something that you don't even know really what it is. It's called faith and you're putting it in something that you can't see. You're putting it in the Lord and you can't see God. You know what? Faith is tough. Faith is grabbing a hold of the promises of God with all of your heart and you're holding on to them with everything you've got, even though it doesn't make sense, even though you're hurting, even though the circumstances of life all around you aren't what you thought they were going to be, and you're just trying to hang on. You know what, though? God has promised to give us faith. He gives some people a whole lot of faith. He gives some people just a little bit of faith, but he gives everybody enough faith to obey. You know, for just a minute, I want us just to try to apply this and to really think about what we're talking about here. And really where the rubber meets the road in our life about living by faith. First of all, I want us to see that we must live by faith even when life is hard. You know what? Life is hard. Life comes at you 100 miles an hour and it's just going and there's all kinds of things that happen in our lives all the time. And life gets hard. You know, I have just a few things here in my notes that I just throw out. And this could go in so many different directions, but just a few things. I think about finances. I think about how hard it is sometimes with our finances. So many times it's tough. And so here you are. Let's just paint a perfect scenario of living by faith with your finances. You come to Sunday, and it's time for, and the Bible tells us that we are to give. I mean, it's something that we do in response to God because we're grateful for His love. We're grateful for His salvation. It's a part of worship, the Bible tells us. We're to give. But then we also have bills to pay just this week. Let me ask you a question. Do you really trust God to pay your bills and you give the money that you have to the Lord? Do you really? You're sitting here and you don't seem like you have enough money to do both. And so many times we say, Lord, I really want to give, but I can't. I have to pay this bill this week. Do you trust God? You see, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to make these choices. It's hard to take these steps of faith to really believe it. Because then at the same time, you're like, God doesn't even need my money. But you know what? He does want us to obey. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to take these steps. Folks, do you live by faith? Do you trust God? What about your schedule? Do you live by faith when life is hard in your schedule? Man, I feel like I'm so busy. I just feel like life just goes 100 miles an hour and I can never keep up. It's just going, going, going. I always have a to-do list. It's like, you know, I love checking off a to-do list. But I never get it checked off because by the time I get these five, there's five more and it just never ends. It's always going. And you know, so many times I have this conflict in my heart of spending quality time with God, being involved in this, being involved in that, giving God my schedule. Starts in the morning, when I get up in the morning. You know what? So many times a busy schedule makes me feel like I don't have time to spend one-on-one time with God. You know, it's really a matter of faith. Are you going to say, you know what? God has told me to spend time with Him. I'm going to spend time with Him, and I'm going to let Him handle my schedule. You're up late, you're studying, you're doing this, that, and the other. And then, so the next morning, it's time to sleep in. If I sleep in, then I'm going to have more energy to do what I need to do through the day. Do you say, hey, God, you know what? I'm going to trust You to give me the energy to get done what I need to do today. I'm going to get up and spend time with You. These are little things, but folks, you know what this is? It's called obedience. It's called living by faith. Living by faith when life is hard. What about temptations when they come? You know, so many times, every person, they have their bents. You have these temptations that come. It's like, my temptations may not be your temptations, but we all have our temptations. And they come. And have you ever just thought, God, I thought You were powerful. I thought You could do anything. I thought You were completely had all power. How come You let me fall? What if God allows failure to come into your life because He wants you to live by faith and to trust Him for victory, not yourself? Folks, do we live by faith? God wants you to depend on Him for victory over those temptations. We must live by faith when life is hard, but then you know what? We must live by faith even when life hurts. You know, life hurts so many times. Whether it's the circumstances and it's the unfulfilled expectations, it's the disappointments, the things that you had planned on, the things that you thought were going to happen, and they just don't happen. You know, you look at Habakkuk. Here Habakkuk is, and he's being faithful. He's preaching the word. He's telling these people exactly what God wants them to tell them. You know, I've never been a pastor, but my dad was a pastor, is a pastor. You know, I can't think of anything harder on a pastor than to be up preaching and the people of God won't obey God. It's not that they won't obey you. It's that they won't obey God. And this man, he's just crying out to God, why? Why is this happening? The unfulfilled expectations, the disappointments of life. You know what? We must live by faith even when life hurts, even when sickness comes. You know, even when sickness comes and it takes away someone who we love, even when sickness comes and it disables us. Do we live by faith? I think about Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul, the Bible says, was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, I really like the fact that God doesn't tell us what that thorn in the flesh was, because that kind of means I can plug in my problem. Many people think that it was a physical problem, maybe something with his eyesight or whatever. Some people believe that it was people and the church at Corinth that God had to deal with, that they were a thorn in His flesh. We don't know what it was, but I do know that Paul did not like his thorn in the flesh. And the Bible says that he three times cried out to God, God, would You take this away? And you know what the answer came back was? No, Paul. I don't want to take it away. Paul, you want me to change your circumstances, but I don't want to change your circumstances, Paul. I want to change you. Folks, what is it? Could it be that God has brought some things into your life and He simply is wanting you to trust Him and you want Him to change your circumstances so bad? You know, I had a week this past week that was a difficult week. Have you ever had a week where it just seemed like your hands were destructive instruments? It's like everything you touched, you broke. Not too long ago, me and my wife got a travel trailer, and these things are neat. Man, I'm so excited about our trailer. But I found out something. It's like they're like time bombs waiting to go off. You just go through and you start touching things, and they just fall apart. And it's like everything's made of Play-Doh or something. I don't know. And you hook this thing behind your truck and you're going down the highway like this, and you get to where you go and you get inside, and things are all off the shelves and they've fallen everywhere and things are broken. And you know what? I remember I pulled up, this is 2 days ago, I pulled up into this church. And just last week, I had a closet door that I guess I gave it gas or put on the brakes or something, and this closet door just came, went past its point of where it was supposed to go and just breaks off. When we come in, it's laying on the floor. And then this week, I come in, and I had this other little closet door that had opened up, and then it has these slide-outs, and this slide-out had just smashed it. And I was so angry. I was angry. I was really angry, even though I didn't want to be angry towards God. Who else was my anger towards? And I remember I walked out of my trailer and I slammed the door and I said, God, okay, fine. You have to help me not blow this thing up. And I remember I walked out, and did you know that I went over and I had a bad attitude towards the Lord, and I went to the back of my trailer and I started to unhook something, and the entire weight of the whole trailer fell on the back of my truck off of the hitch, and I put this huge dent in my truck 2 minutes later. And I walk away and I say, God, what are you doing? And you know what? I went and I spent some extra time in prayer 2 nights ago. Because God, He is allowing things to come into my life that simply, they're hard. And He just wants me to trust Him and say, God, whatever comes, I know that you're just trying to change me. You're trying to help me take the circumstances of life and to really and truthfully, not just say it with my mouth, but to live it with my life, that I believe you're in control, even of my trailer, even of my finances. You know what? Do you believe God's good? Do you believe God's in control? What happens when the circumstances of life aren't what you thought they were going to be? What happens when the sickness comes into your family and hits you or hits the person who you love more than anything else in this world? You know, I think of Job. In one day, he lost everything except for his mate. He lost his crops. He lost his flocks. He lost his children. And then he loses his health. But what did he say? He said, though he slay me, he said, even if God slays me, even if God kills me, yet will I trust in Him. You know what, folks? I want to come to that place. I want to be there. I want to believe it, that I can trust God no matter what. You know, it's at the end of the book of Job, we find Job after he struggles with God, but then God gives him a vision of who he is. And at the end of the book of Job, you know what Job said? He said, through all of these circumstances, he said, I used to know who God was because I'd heard of Him with my ears. He said, but now, through all of this destruction, hurt, pain, he said, through all of this, I don't just know God because I've heard Him with my ears. Through all of this, I have seen Him with my eyes. Folks, you want to know God? He's probably going to reveal Himself to you more through painful things than anything else. Will we live by faith when life hurts? What about in relationships? You ever been stabbed in the back? You ever been hurt by somebody? You know, really in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, there's really two things that are going to happen to a person when they go through the hurts of life. One of two things are going to happen. They're either, verse number 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You are either going to become angry and bitter and full of wrath, or verse 32, put these things away from you with all malice, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know what it's saying there? That one of two things is going to happen as we go through life. We are either going to trust God and we're going to forgive as we get hurt, Or we are going to get bitter and we're going to get angry. And folks, really, I stand here and I tell you that every single one of you, if you've gone through hurts in your life, you are in one of those two categories. You have either allowed it to get you angry and bitter. We say we take it out towards people, but we know it's true. Ultimately, it's towards God. And every single one of us, no matter the hurts, no matter the circumstances, we are either in one of these two categories. We've either allowed it to cause us to get bitter, fearful, defensive. We won't let people close to us because we're afraid of being hurt again. Or we simply forgive and give it to God and trust God and live by faith. And then the basis of it we find right there at the end of verse number 32. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what? He forgave you. We have to forgive when the circumstances of life hurt in relationships. We must live by faith when life hurts. We must live by faith when life is hard. We could go on. I'm just giving some examples of where this plays out in our daily life. But you know, for just a minute, I want us to go back and I want us to look at the life of Habakkuk. Three ways that Habakkuk lived by faith, even though he didn't understand what God was doing. Folks, when things are tough, let me ask you a question. Do you respond these three ways? Listen to what Habakkuk does. Number one, we find that he prayed. Could it be that as you go through the trials of your life, you don't pray? Folks, listen, every single one of us are in one of three places. We either just got out of trouble, we're in the middle of trouble, or trouble's just around the corner. Trouble and trials are what life is all about. It's God's number one way of teaching us. They're coming. Don't sit there and think, hey, listen, everything's fine right now. This must be for somebody else. Because as soon as you say that, folks, maybe the next trial for you is this afternoon. And folks, when you go through these trials, do you pray? And when you come, God gives Habakkuk a vision in chapter number 2. And when we get to chapter number 3, Habakkuk starts off a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. And the whole rest of chapter number 3 is just a prayer to God, acknowledging, God, you do what's right. You are perfect. I can trust you. Even though what he was going to do, what was God going to do? He was going to destroy Judea. It wasn't the answer that Habakkuk wanted. But Habakkuk still prayed and gave God the glory, knowing that what he was going to do is right. Folks, you know what I find myself doing? I find myself so many times when I'm in the middle of struggles, when I'm in the middle of conflicts, when I'm in the middle of trials, I find so much that I seek consolation in other people. And that's not wrong, except I have such a tendency to seek consolation in people more than in God. You ever find yourself doing that? Oh yeah, maybe you'll pray for a minute, but then man, you can't wait to talk to your mother. You cannot wait to talk to your sister. You cannot wait to talk to your friend. Folks, may it not be so that we really think they have the answers more than God. Folks, do you go through trials and wonder why you don't understand but you don't pray? I'll tell you why you don't understand. Folks, we have got, trials should put us on our knees, on our face before God. Habakkuk, he prays, but then I want you to see what else he rested. If you look on down, in verse number 16, and he said, and when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. You know, really the whole picture of resting is the picture of trusting God. You know, last night I came in and I tried my best to sleep on that flight from Houston to Honolulu. And I slept for about 6 hours. And then I stayed up on the rest of the flight and I got in here. And then Kevin Inofuku, he would not shut up last night. And he kept me up until 11:45. I finally get in bed about 12 o'clock. And I laid down on that bed. And folks, you know what I did? I rested. I love the picture of laying on a bed. What a picture of faith. You know what? I was not depending on my neck muscles to hold my head up. I was not depending on my arm muscles to hold my arms up. I was not depending on my leg muscles to hold my legs up. You know what I was depending on? That bed, and I totally and completely relaxed. Folks, that's what it means to rest.
that you put yourself flat out on the mercy of God and you say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but that doesn't matter. I trust you. I rest. Folks, do you rest when trouble comes? Or are you anxious? Do you worry? Do you fret? Folks, we have to live by faith. Habakkuk prayed, Habakkuk rested, but then you know what else Habakkuk did? He rejoiced. I want you to listen to what he says because I love it. I just love it. Listen to what he says in verse number 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Do you know what he just said? Do you want to know what Habakkuk just said? Let me tell you what he said. He was talking about the circumstances in Judea and how hard they were. And you know what he said right there in verse number 17? He said, even though I don't have any money in the bank, even though there's no food in the fridge, there's no gas in the car, even though my best friend just stabbed me in the back, even though my wife just got cancer, even though the person who I need most in life just died, yet will I rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Folks, what trial is it that God has caused or allowed into your life that you might simply trust Him? Folks, He wants to deepen us. He wants to teach us. He wants to change us. We must live by faith. Will you live by faith in the midst of the trials that you're going through right now and the trials that you're going to go through tomorrow? Will you trust God?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, Will You Live by Faith? From Evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was originally presented in January of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.